pata swa pacho tu karyan. Yajiva greva tati namatubhyam. Vipostapasti juhuvu shasnuraya. Ramanucho namagrenanti ete. Oho Bhatta. Oh, how glorious. Swapacha. Adog eater. Ataha. Hence. Gariyam. Worshipable. Yat. Of whom. Jiva agre. On the tip of the tongue. Vartate. Is. Nama. The holy name. Tubhyam. Unto you. Tefu. Tapa. Practiced austerities. They. Juhuvu. Executed fire sacrifices. Shashnu. Took part in the sacred rivers. Arya. Aryans. Brahma Anuchu. Studied the Vedas. Nama. The holy name. Grananti. Accept. Yea. They. Dehu. Te. Your. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace. Vaicharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Te. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in a family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. Please repeat. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in a family of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required. As it is stated in the previous verse, a person who has once, offenselessly, chanted the holy name of God, becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. One should not be astonished by this statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not disbelieve or think, how by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can become a holy man to be compared with the most elevated Brahmana? To eradicate such doubts in the mind of unbelievers, this verse affirms that the stage of chanting of the holy name of the Lord is not sudden, but that the chanters have already performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and sacrifices. It is not very outstanding, for no one in this life can chant the holy name of the Lord unless he has passed over all lower stages, such as performing the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, studying the Vedas, and practicing good behavior like that of the Aryans. All this must have first been done. Just as a student in the lower class is to be understood to have already graduated from general education, anyone who is engaged in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, must have already passed all of the lower stages. It is said that those who simply chant the holy name with the tip of the tongue are glorious. One does not even have to chant the holy name and understand the whole procedure, namely the offensive stage, the offenseless stage, and pure stage. If the holy name is sounded on the tip of the tongue, that is also sufficient. It is said herein that Nama, a singular number, one name, Krishna or Rama, is sufficient. It is not that one has to chant all the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of the Lord are innumerable, and one does not have to chant all the names to prove that he has already undergone all the processes of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. If one chants once only, it is to be understood that he has already passed all the examinations. Not to speak of those who are chanting always, 24 hours a day. It is specifically said here, to Bhyam, unto you only. One must chant God's name, not as the Mayavadi philosophers say, any name, such as demigods' names, or the names of God's energies. Only the names of the Supreme Lord will be effective. Anyone who compares the holy name of the Supreme Lord to the names of the demigods is called Pashandi, or an offender. The holy name has to be chanted to please the Supreme Lord, and not for any sense gratification or professional purpose. If this pure mentality is there, then even though a person born in a low family, such as the dog eaters, he is so glorious that not only he has purified himself, but he is quite competent to deliver others. He is competent to speak on the importance of the transcendental name, just as Haridas Thakur did. He was apparently born in a family of Mohammedans, but because he was chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord offenselessly, Lord Chaitanya empowered him to become the authority or acharya of spreading the holy name. It did not matter that he was born in a family which was not following the Vedic rules and regulations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Prabhu accepted him as an authority because he was offenselessly chanting the name of the Lord. Authorities like Advaita Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya immediately accepted that he had already performed all kinds of austerities, studied the Vedas and performed all sacrifices. That is automatically understood. There is a hereditary class of brahmanas called the smarter brahmanas, however, who are of the opinion that even if such persons who are chanting the holy name are accepted as purified, still they have to perform the Vedic rites or await their next birth in the family of brahmanas so they can perform the Vedic rituals. But actually, that is not the case. Such a man does not need to wait for the next birth to become purified. He is at once purified. It is understood that he has already performed all sorts of rites. It is the so-called brahmanas who actually have to undergo different kinds of austerities before reaching that point of purification. There are many other Vedic performances which are not described here. All such Vedic rituals have already been performed by the chanters of the holy name. The word Juhubu means that the chanters of the holy name have already performed all kinds of sacrifice. Shashnu means they have already traveled to the holy places of pilgrimage and taken part in purificatory activities at those places. They are called Arya because they have already finished all those requirements. And therefore, they must be among the Aryans, or those who have qualified themselves to become Aryans. Aryan refers to those who are civilized, whose manners are regulated according to the Vedic rituals. Any devotee who is chanting the holy name of the Lord is the best kind of Aryan. Unless one studies the Vedas, one cannot become an Aryan. But it is automatically understood that the chanters have already studied all the Vedic literatures. The specific word used here is anuchut, which means that because they have already completed all those recommended acts, they have become qualified to be spiritual masters. The very word granati, which is used in this verse, means to be already established in the perfectional stage of ritualistic performances. If one is seated on the high bench, if one is seated on the bench of the high court and is giving judgment on cases, it means that he has already passed all legal exams and is better than those who are engaged in the study of law or those expecting to study in law in the future. In a similar way, persons who are chanting the holy name are transcendental to those who are factually performing Vedic rituals and those who are who expect to be qualified. Or in other words, those who are born in families of Brahmanas but have not yet undergone the reformatory processes and who therefore expect to study the Vedas rituals and perform the sacrifices in the future. There are many Vedic statements in different places saying that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord immediately becomes freed from all conditioned life. And anyone who hears the holy name of the Lord, even though born in a family of dog eaters, also becomes liberated from the clutches of material entanglement. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vashani O Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. A very famous verse. Ho Bhatashwa Pacho Tu Garyam Yad Shiva Gri Bhadati Namatunyo. Now how glorious are those persons, even born in the family of dog eaters. So this is the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's for the Paramahamsas. The Paramahamsa literature for Paramahamsas, and it's here is glorifying dog eaters. Born in family of dog eaters. Why are they so glorious? Those ones who have the holy name on the tip of their tongues. Of course, they're not dog eaters anymore. They become devotees of Krishna. But they're glorious because they have stopped their sinful activities. They've taken to the process of Krishna consciousness. So, in the last verse, it tells you yesterday's verse. Tells us of a person who chants the name. It means that you chant the name in an offenseless manner. Like even one time, it's like Ajamil, he chanted the name of Narayan at the time of death. And in that, if you listen to that tape, then Pradyumna is reading the purport to Prabhupada, and he said, so he, at the time of the death, Ajamil, he chanted, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Prabhupada said, three times? Did I say that? He said, no, one time. He said, once is enough. So even one time chanting the holy name, same thing here. You chant one time, one becomes completely purified. But that, it says here, that a person born in a family of the low class, which is accustomed to eat dogs, is so positioned due to his past sinful activities. But by chanting or hearing once in pureness or in offenseless manner, he is immediately relieved of all sinful reaction. So here, by chanting in pureness or offenselessness, so this is So this affair, how could you understand this? It seems, you know, one time you could chant the holy name of the Lord, you become purified, yet you've got a chance of fenselessly and impurity. So the idea is that by association with the sadhu, a person understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am his eternal servant, and he gives up all of his sinful activities, all of his previous sinful activities, what he's doing in the present sinful activities he may be engaged in. And he accepts the devotional service as Krishna as the goal of his life, he is considered pure. Because his consciousness is situated perfectly. Jivasurupaya Nitya Krishna Das. So he's situated he's situated his consciousness in the pure platform. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm his eternal servant. He is my object of worship, and I will perform devotional service for his satisfaction. So then the constitutional of the living entity is that is the pure constitution of the living entity. So when one is in pure constitution, it says all the lower states of consciousness are automatically surpassed. So we have, like here, studying the Vedas, going to places of pilgrimage, all these processes, the process of knowledge, etc., the process of detachment, all these really good qualities, the process of moralities and things like that, purity, they're all good. It's a good stage of consciousness, but they're lower. It's a lower stage of consciousness than the consciousness of one's actual identity. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. So therefore, that consciousness supersedes all the other consciousness. So one may be why, well, I'm so impure, I can't have no sense control, I don't have all these qualities. But they're all lower qualities. But if we adopt a higher quality, we accept Krishna is my worshipful Lord, and I'm his eternal servant, and we fix our consciousness in there, then that's considered pure consciousness. It surpassed all the other lower stages of consciousness, and all the other stages of consciousness are actually become subordinate to this perfect understanding. Therefore, for the karmis, jnanis, and yogis, they have a good state of consciousness, but it's subordinate to the pure stage of consciousness of understanding one's eternal servant of Krishna. So therefore, from the point of view of devotional service, that being a devotee of Krishna, the karmi, the jnani, and the yogi are impure. From down looking up, they're very good, they're pure, you know, they've got all these good qualities. But from the platform of absolute consciousness, or pure consciousness of the living entity in his relationship with Krishna, anything below that is impure. Because they haven't come to that point of understanding that they're the eternal servant of Krishna and serving Krishna. But they're very expert in performing all these rituals and they're very pure. But still they have to go transcend that to come to another platform. So one should be very, very careful also in his dealing with Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnava is situated, his consciousness in there, be very careful, don't you? Or you don't call him a Swapacha because of his Dogita, because he comes from a family of Dogitas, or a Brahmana because he comes from a family of Brahmanas, or identify him as being a man or a woman or a Bengali or a Russian or whatever. Jivasurupaya Nitya Krishna Das, we have our eternal consciousness, our eternal identification, that is a pure identification. But if we judge another person, which is easy to do, when we're situated in a lower stage of consciousness, the Brahmana becomes proud of his knowledge, he becomes proud of his qualifications, and therefore they criticize. It's very easy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, they sit on the high horse of morality, and they shoot down the pure Vaishnavas without understanding, because they haven't gone through the reformatory process of being a Brahmana, etc. Therefore, they're not actually as elevated as a Brahmana. Very dangerous consciousness. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that person, even though he's committed abominable activities, most abominable activities, that is situated in this, I'm Krishna's servant, and Krishna is my Lord, and he still continues in that, he is considered saint. And the Brahman who criticizes him, he falls down, and he comes to the level of Dharma. He becomes dharmic. Very quickly he becomes dharmic. But because he criticized that pure devotee, the consciousness of the devotee in that consciousness, the Brahmana, the elevated Brahmana, he falls down from his position. Krishna says, but anyway, he'll come back, he'll very soon he'll come back to the position of Dharma. Again, that means his position in the mode of goodness. But he hasn't understood transcendence. He hasn't understood perfectly the consciousness of the devotee. So here is, the consciousness is the main thing. We have to, if we establish our consciousness right, then automatically everything will fall into line. Krishna says the senses are, mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind, and the soul is higher than the intelligence. So if we put the soul, the consciousness, the soul's consciousness proper, then automatically surpass all the lower stages of consciousness, of intelligence, mind, senses, things like that. So here Prabhupada is talking about the smarter brahmanas who are saying that a person born in a family of dog eaters, why is he taking that birth? Because that's his nature. He's fallen. And therefore he's got a body, because his body is a vehicle, a machine to execute our previous desires, our activities. One's mental condition at the time of death takes him to a body suitable to his condition. So he's got a mentality of being a dog eater, so he's born in a dog eater family. And a brahmana, Paka Brahmana, why he's born in that family is because of his previous activities of brahminical influence. Then he's taken birth in a brahminical. This is karma, this is the law. So the brahmanas are using this is the law, so we can see practically by a person's birth, it's according to his karma. So therefore, one has to take birth in a Brahman family, then he can become elevated to the position, and then he can become a transcendentalist. This is quite logical. But here the Vaishnava argument is no. If he situates his consciousness in pure Krishna consciousness, then it's understood he's already surpassed all those brahminical stages. That is the verdict of the Shastra, that is the verdict of the sadhus. So it's irrefutable. There's so many statements like this one here, one who chants the name of the Lord once, and he's coming from a dog eater family, but he changes his consciousness and situates himself in a higher consciousness, being a servant of Krishna, then he's automatically surpassed. He jumped over all the other different stages of consciousness, of purity, etc. So, and on the other hand, we say, no, that Swapacha, that dog eater who's changed his consciousness, he's purified. Whereas the Brahmana who's born in Brahmana family, he's not purified. The very fact that you're born in the Brahmana family means you're not purified. Because the whole Brahminical family situation is the different samskaras you have to go through from birth, Gavadana samskar, for purification. Not all these different samskaras up to Upanayam, taking the sacred thread, they're all processes of purification. So it's a person who's born in a family indicates that he has more purification to go through. That's why he's taken birth in a Brahman family. So now he can do all these samskaras and then he can become pure. So the Vaishnavas, they reverse their logic. You're saying that the dog eater is not purified because of his birth. We say the Brahmana is not purified because of his birth. So anyone who takes the Krishna consciousness, immediately he surpasses all the lower stages of consciousness, which are all performing pious activities, going to place of pilgrimage, doing what you are supposed to do. This means doing your Varnashram perfectly. The Gopal Bhatta Goswami also says in the Sakriya Saratipika, in his introduction, and he quotes many, many verses from the Shastra on this point, that if a person is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master in a bona fide sampradaya, into the holy names of Lord Vishnu, he is considered at once transcendental to all the other lower stages. Now, if by accident, by illusion, by forgetfulness, again he starts worshipping the demigods, as generally is in the smarter process, he falls down from that position. Now the Brahmanas are saying you've got to worship to do your duty properly, you've got to worship your forefather, you've got to do Pitripuja, you're at worship your ancestors, you've got to worship the Devatas. Rini and Kinkara, when you're born you're a debtor. You have to pay off these debts. Mother, father, demigods, rishis, sages, people in general, the government, all these persons are helping you. And so you have a debt to pay. You're six types of debts. You're a Rini. From birth, you're a debtor. So the Shastra is telling, this is a person born, then he repays his debts. So then there's many rituals to repay all the debts you have from birth. If you don't do that, then you have to take a low birth because you haven't performed your duty properly, you haven't done your dharma properly. Then it's sinful. So therefore you get dharma and adharma. If you don't perform your dharma, you become adharmic. Therefore you're going to take a low birth next time. Therefore you're obligated to worship the forefathers, the devatas, etc. like that. But he says, what's the result of that if you worship the pitras and the forefathers? What is the result? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who worship the pitras, they go to pitraloka. Those who worship the devas, they go to devaloka. So what is the result of your dharma? Again, you have to take birth in pitraloka or devaloka and come back. And it doesn't solve the problem. It's dharmic, but it's just solving, it's keeping one in the in the cycle of birth and death. So he says that even if a person is initiated in the bona fide sampradaya from a bona fide Vaishnava and he's chanting thing, if he performs those things like tarpan and shraddha and pitripuja, he actually falls down from his position because he's committing namaparad and sevaraparad. That means he's worshipping devatas. It means he's equating the Lord's name and the devatas as being equal. So immediately he falls down. He stops his service to Krishna to serve the demigods and the forefathers. So he falls down from that position. So this is the elevated position of this consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. Krishna consciousness. Come to give his service. This is the glory of our temple of the Vedic, the temple of Vedic planetarium here, known as the Adbhut Mandir, Nithyananda Prabhu predicts. He reveals the desire of Lord Chaitanya. A very astonishing temple here in Mayapur, Adbhut Mandir. And from that, what is that boot about this temple? The golden dome, with the chandelier, the universe that's been moving inside. Something very apt for a Jivatmana. I think that the apt means, as Nithyananda Prabhu said, that from that apt Mandir, from Gauranga Nityasevavahi, that service to Gauranga would go all over the world. I think that's very astonishing. So you can serve Gauranga by chanting Hare Krishna. So that is astonishing. There are many great temples in the world. St. Peter's is going to be bigger than St. Peter's in Rome. I think that's bigger than the temple. So in that sense, there's more at work. But anyway, they can always build bigger temples and more deities, whatever. Some dealers have got temples with very big Krishna deities. Very, very, very big deities. But service to Krishna, that's very astonishing. Because that is your pure consciousness. If you can come to that stage, you've surpassed all the other different stages. So So that's very astonishing. In Kali Yuga, that people come to that highest stage of consciousness, surpassing all the different other stages of consciousness. Yeah, service to Gauranga spreads all over the world from this temple. That's very astonishing. So like Prabhupada mentioned that in some verses ago, that we often hear how one has to become perfect in knowledge and detachment before it can go back to Godhead. That here, one who is engaged in devotional service, he's completed his knowledge, he's completed his detachment, he's already done it. He said, and there is no explanation except ahutaki. It's just causeless. By devotional service, everything happens automatically, all the lower stages automatically happen. So here, one situates himself in proper consciousness. I'm Krishna's servant, he's my master, he's my Lord, let me serve him. Just absorbs himself, immediate detachment will come, knowledge will come. All these processes of purification automatically go. Prabhupada says you can't, it's no reason for it, it's just a kuti. Because your consciousness is situated purely, then everything else becomes in line. All the lower stages of consciousness become purified. So therefore there's no need for knowledge as such, or detachment as such. In other words, it's not necessary to give your full consciousness to detachment, how I can become detached from this world. Or give full consciousness to knowledge, how I can gather more. This is the process of the jnanis and the yogis. This is what they are taking. But the devotee doesn't do that. And nor does he practice the mystic yogic system to come to the stage of samadhi. But by just engaging in Krishna service, completely absorbed in Krishna service, he gets the stage of samadhi. He gets the perfection of knowledge. He gets total renunciation. It's causeless, simply because his consciousness is situated in the proper position. Everything else falls in place. Like if you suspend the magnet freely, immediately it will swing to the north. Now you know what's north. Now you know what's south. Now you know what's east. Now you know what's west. So this is Krishna consciousness. You put your consciousness in the... Then you see everything else clearly. Everything comes into proper focus. So same thing here. Prabhupada says, one who is chanting the holy names of the Lord must have already passed all the lower stages. It is said that those who simply chant the holy name with the tip of his tongue are glorious. One doesn't even have to chant the holy name and understand the whole procedure, namely the offensive stage, the offenseless stage, and the pure stage. If the holy name is sounded on the tip of the tongue, that is also sufficient. So same thing. We know there's three stages of chanting, offenseless, and the pure stage. But if one is simply engaged in chanting, absorbed in chanting, he doesn't have to worry about my offensive stage. He doesn't have to worry about how to come to the offenseless stage. What are the symptoms? Because he's just absorbed in that chanting Hare Krishna, and because he's just absorbed in that, if he's on the offensive stage, all those offenses will be immediately eradicated without a separate endeavor, simply because he's taking the holy name on his tongue. And when he continues to do that, then he comes to the offenseless stage automatically without trying for it. And then still chanting, then he will come to the pure stage when everything will be revealed to him by that same process of chanting. So it's not necessary he's giving so much attention to the different processes, but simply he keeps the holy name and understands he's Krishna's eternal self. Everything is automatically taken care of by that higher consciousness. Then all the offenses go away. We don't have to give our attention to all the offenses and how can I get rid of this offense, how can I get rid of the offense. So this is the positive process of Krishna consciousness. Of course, because of our lack of faith in the process and the lack of faith in the holy name, then we have all this knowledge that we study. We have all this knowledge how to become detached from them, and we put it into practice, and we do try to understand my offensive stage, and we do try to understand what is the offensive stage, we do try to understand what is the pure stage, and we have to be very diligent and guard against them like that. because of our lack of faith in the scripture, in the Guru, in the Vaishnava, in the Holy Name, in the process of devotional service. So therefore we have all this knowledge and understanding. Prabhupada said, I think it's in maybe Montreal or Rath Yatra. So they got back, it was a welcoming arrival address. So they got some town hall or somewhere like that, they had a big program. The Prabhupada gave the address and he said, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for attending the Rath Yatra festival. He said, this is a very natural thing. He said, we didn't ask anyone to come, we didn't pay anyone, but we see everybody was coming, they were dancing and they were chanting. We did not, you all came spontaneously. So this is Krishna consciousness. It is the natural situation of the soul. It's just automatically you are spontaneously attracted. He said, so this is the glory of Krishna consciousness. He said, now, if you want knowledge, we have so many books. Otherwise, you simply chant and dance and chant Hare Krishna. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. He's come to give Krishna consciousness. And also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to teach Yukta Vairagya. There's a difference. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving is spontaneous devotional service. You absorb yourself in it completely. That you cannot teach. So then, you can't do that, okay, he's teaching Yukta Vairagya, that you can teach. That you can put into practice. Let me become learned, let me become renounced. First he's giving pure devotional service. Mahavananaya Krishna Premapadayat, here it is, take it. Be spontaneously absorbed in service whole time in the holy name. That's what he's giving. If you can't do that, because you can't teach that, it's going to come from you. If you can't do that, okay, then Lord Chaitanya come to teach Yukta Vairagya. He came to teach knowledge and renunciation. First, accept the natural situation of your heart. If you can't do that, okay. You don't have that faith, you don't have that. Okay, then practice knowledge. Here is the knowledge, here is renunciation according to the different acharyas. Then that will purify yourself. Then you will come to that pure consciousness. So, Sanatana Goswami also, he talks about this process. It mentioned yesterday, and also it's the same mood today of the process of diksha. This is from the 5th canto, the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, first chapter, text 35, and it's the same kind of mood here. Dear King, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, means he's surrendered to Krishna, he can transcend the influence of all the material whips. He can control his senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord. Because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the four castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved from bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. He's accepted the Lord. So hearing it is said, however, that even a Bidura Bigata or a chandala, a fifth class, untouchable, is free to be utters the holy name even once. Being freed means that he immediately changes his body. Sanatana Goswami confirms this, and he chants, says that verse, how bell metal, we read it yesterday, bell metal can be turned by alchemy, mixture, it can be transformed into gold. So similarly, even a person in a low class family can become Krishna conscious. A person, even though a chandala, is initiated by a pure devotee into chanting the holy name of the Lord, his body changes as he follows the instructions of the spiritual master. Although one cannot see how his body has changed, we must accept, on the grounds of the authoritative statements of the Shastra, that he changes his body. This is to be understood without argument. This verse clearly says, Sadyahati Bandham, he gives up his material bondage. The body is a symbolic representation of material bondage according to one's karma. Although sometimes we cannot see the gross body changing, chanting of the holy name of the Supreme Lord immediately changes the subtle body. And because the subtle body changes, the living entity is immediately freed from material bondage. After all, changes of the gross body are conducted by the subtle body. After the destruction of the gross body, the subtle body takes the living entity from his present body to another gross body. In the subtle body, the mind is predominant, and therefore if one's mind is always absorbed in remembrance of the activities or the lotus feet of the Lord, he is to be understood as already changed his present body and become purified. Therefore it is irrefutable that a chandala or any fallen or low-born person can become a brahmana simply by the method of bona fide initiation. So, more evidence. No more time. Okay. Oh, I better finish. It's 9 o'clock. What? Should I go on? Okay. Okay, I'll give you another quote. It's 9 o'clock. You're free to leave, if you may. This is from Bhakti Siddhanta Bhai Bhav. And chapter 16. It's to do with the circumlumination of Navadvip Dham. So I found it really interesting because we can also relate it. Holy Dham is none different than the holy name. Nam Nam Kori Bahudha Nivasarva Shakti. Everything is contained in the holy name, so Dham is there. And it's our process. What we're trying to do is understand the holy name. We're trying to enter into the holy name with the proper understanding. It's our process in the age of Kali. So he's speaking how we can enter into Navadvip Dham. The same thing is how we can enter into the holy name. And he says that the pilgrim who is anxious to obtain sight of the Godhead is under the absolute necessity of seeking the aid of the divine realm. The sight of the divine realm automatically admits us automatically to the presence of the divinity who abides only there. But the divine realm tests our sincerity as seekers of service of Godhead. Therefore before she condescends to aid our endeavor. If she finds out that we want to dominate and not to serve the truth, she presents her unapproachable face to our view. She appears to be as dumb as the Sphinx to our hypocritical entreaties for her aid. This is the plight of the empirical pendant on the threshold of the divine realm. But the sadhu is always at our elbow with his counsel of genuine submission to the plenary power of Godhead in recognition of her divine nature. So here, Bhakti Siddhanta's language takes a few times to read it. What he's saying, you want to enter into Navadvip, you have to seek the help of the divine realm, divine energy, who is Protomaya. Protomaya is the covering energy of Maya Podam. She's the curtain of Yogamaya, so she can lift it and she can drop it. So he is saying that those who are actual seekers of the truth, of the Dham, they have to have her aid, because it's only by her mercy she will reveal. And without her mercy you cannot enter. So, but we're approaching, but she says she tests our sincerity as seekers of service of Godhead. What is the reason why we are entering into the Holy Dham? Is it really we are seeking service? Is that our motivation? Or is there other motivation? Simply, same thing with the holy name. What is our motivation? We want to chant Hare Krishna. We're trying to chant purely. What is our motivation? So she is testing. It says she tests to see if your motivation is pure. The motivation should be for pure service. We want to enter to render pure service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Navadvipa. And we want to enter the holy name to surrender pure service. That should be our motivation. Because Hari is Radharani.